If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter 1 this morning, please. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Romans 1, 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Father, anoint the Holy Word. Anoint this preacher. May we see results, our Heavenly Father, that you desire from your word that will not return into you void. In your holy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. You live in a generation of reprobates. Meditate on that for a moment. People do not think clearly anymore. Their mind has been so warped and distorted that now they are at the stage of being programmed. They respond to certain stimuli. The media and so forth have conditioned the minds of the people to respond to certain words. They get a response from them. And they, by doing that, they're controlling the people. Therefore, a reprobate mind is a mind that is incapable of thinking correctly. That's what it means, a reprobate. It cannot think correctly. Even though presented with the facts, even though they're clear cut, you still cannot think correctly. If you're not aware of this, 50 people have died from a mass killer in New Zealand. This is a murderer. He's going to hell. This is a murderer. He's going to hell. Now, 50 people are dead. They were killed in a mosque. They were having a religious service. They were not harming anyone. They were not causing any problems for anyone. They were simply exercising what should be a freedom of anyone alive on this earth, is a freedom to worship the way you see fit. I may not agree with it, but you should have that freedom. If you don't think like that, you got a reprobate mind. I'm a Christian. I believe there's only one way to God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm also an American. And I believe as an American citizen, you have a right to worship God according to the dictates of your heart and your soul. It's got to be that way. If it's not that way, you let a dictator get in office and he will shut down your churches, or he'll shut down your mosque, or he'll shut down whatever he doesn't like. So I believe in the freedom of speech. Once the freedom of speech is gone, none of the rest of it matters. Some of you don't understand what I'm saying. You should have the freedom of speech. Once it's gone, I can no longer preach from this pulpit. Some of the things I'm going to say this morning, some of you probably will not like. This mass murderer streamed the killing of 50 people with a camera that he had attached to his helmet. He went into the mosque and he murdered these people, shot them down like dogs. And while he was shooting these people, who were unarmed, by the way, all it would have taken is 1 9mm between his eyes to stop him dead in his tracks. Apparently he didn't think anybody could be able to respond. So he walked into this worship service and he shot these people dead like dogs. And he videoed it and he streamed it live. And there were people out there watching everything he did. Now the mass media, the social media, the social media, they found out about it and they shut down the site. But before they could shut the site down, people had already copied it, they mirrored it, they sent it out, they cut frames from it, and they fed all of those people out there in the world who love the blood and the gore. And right now they're watching the blood and the gore. They're lapping it up like dogs. He streamed this live while he was murdering these people. That is a reprobate mind. For as far as he was concerned, there were nothing in the world more than cattle or dogs or something to be shot down. And he had no respect at all for human life. He's going to hell. Amen. The only thing that can keep him out of hell is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a shame that the Lord Jesus Christ did not get to him before he became a mass murderer. Right? Amen. So social media can be used for good and for bad. But for the most part, it's used for bad. He sent all of this out so people could watch him as the bodies fell before him. And whatever perverted satisfaction he got from that is not going to outweigh what he has to pay for it. He hasn't thought about that part. Murderers go to hell. Social media has suicides. They're streaming their deaths. They're getting their moment before people. The people want to see this. They want to broadcast their death, their suicide. And so sometimes they tell people ahead of time that I'm going to commit suicide at such and such a time, and so be tuned. And so they tune in to get to watch a real death. You see, now, my dear friends, people are so reprobate by watching television day in and day out. They know that all the deaths and dying and gore on TV is not real. Amen. So they've got to have a platform that's in a higher level where it's real. So it may not be choreographed as good as TV. It may not have all of the lights and all of the sound and all of that. But the one thing that it has that TV doesn't have, it's real. They're watching a real human being die right before their eyes, and they love it. They lap it up. They love it. Suicide. 12-year-old girl kills herself because she's bullied on social media. 17-year-old boy kills himself because he breaks up with his girlfriend. Someone distraught over a marriage breakup kills themselves. On and on and on it goes. When it comes to suicides on social media, there's so many of them you can't even keep up with them. Then there are the selfies on social media. What's a selfie? A selfie is when someone goes off into a dangerous situation and they video themselves and they live stream it. Now, you folks my age in here this morning, a lot of you don't understand what I'm talking about. A lot of you folks my age don't realize that you can take a cell phone like this right here. You can take that, turn it on, plug it in, and you can live stream whatever that camera's looking at. How many of you older folks knew that? You can live stream it. So if you decide to climb up to the top of a mountain and the valleys below, and you want to show them how much courage you got, you hold that camera up like that and let them see down there below you. And if all it takes is one slip and you're a dead duck, and a lot of them are dead ducks. They slipped. They fell. They died. On social media, it went viral. Boy, did you see that? Boy, wasn't that good. Didn't you hear them scream when they fell? A woman the other day climbed into a cage with a leopard. Not a leopard, but a jaguar. The biggest cat in this hemisphere. She crawled into a cage with a jaguar, and it got a hold of her arm and swept it like that. Wasn't she trying to do a selfie? Was she doing a selfie? She was doing a selfie. Who's talking to your teenage daughter? Daddy?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen.
You got a 12-year-old teenage daughter, and you got a 13, 14, 15-year-old teenage daughter. Who's she talking to on social media? All I've got to do is set up a false account, get on social media, and do it in no time. I'm 15 years old. I'm a 15-year-old boy. You'd be surprised at how many 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girls out there are looking for companionship, somebody to communicate with. You see, the generation today, for the most part, has long since divorced itself from the real world. They don't know how to live in the real world. They live in a cyber world. Their friends are on social media. And so this 12, 14-year-old girl at night, she's sitting there, mom, dad's gone, this, that, whatever. And she's communicating with this 15-year-old boy, she thinks. And after a day or two or three, a week or whatever it takes, they build a relationship. And I mean, he can turn on the charm, and believe me, predators are on there right now. These filthy perverts are on there right now, and they want your children. Have you warned them? Have you warned them the dangers of that telephone, that cell phone they've got in their hand? Or the computer? So they set up a date. She goes out to meet Prince Charming. And lo and behold, Prince Charming's not 15 years old. He's 45. And you never see her again. And then 6 months later, a year later, they find her body. Or what's left of it. Buried in a shallow grave or tossed out into a ditch somewhere on the side of the road. And your daughter's gone. Guy did a sting up in New York. I watched it last night. Did a sting. He got these parents and he said, "Now, Mom," he said, "do you believe that your daughter has enough sense to know to not answer anything like that? Leave this country?" "Yes," she said, "absolutely. My daughter would never do anything like that." He said, "Well, come and go with me and let's see if she will or not." And did that very thing, and Mom was in the house when her daughter showed up to meet the 15-year-old boy that was a 45-year-old man. And Mom watched her daughter walk into that house, and Mom lost it. And she ran out of there, and she grabbed her daughter and began to scream into her face and said, "Don't you know what you're doing? Don't you know where you are? Why, I'd never see you again. You don't know these people. I could drag you out of here and you could be dead. Mom, I didn't mean that. Mom, I did. Mom, no, no, no. When you're dead, you're dead." Some of you are so naive. You've been sheltered, lived under, and it's okay for a point to understand all that. But some of you are so sheltered that you don't understand the wicked vileness that's out there in that world. You don't understand the creeps that are walking the streets right now. They're looking for you. And if they won't warn you, it's because they don't care for you. They don't love you. They're out there. I don't care how degenerate this culture has become. I don't care how accepting it has become. A pervert is a pervert. And if he's coming after your daughter, you ought to go back and read what Ted Bundy did. Acted like he was helpless, needed help. Girl comes over to help him. He takes a crowbar out and he brains her with it. Kills her. And he had lust, bloodlust, death lust. Everywhere Bundy showed up, bodies started showing up. That's how he lived. No, he didn't. How he died. A reprobate mind. That's the predator. These parents thought their kids, there's no way. No way. No way. But child, let me warn you. You've only got one life. Don't throw it away. Listen to your parents and be careful who your friends are. You say, "Well, my friends are on social media." I watched a video yesterday. These girls, about seven or eight girls, just beautiful young girls, just teenage kids. You know, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, just kids having fun. They're at a basketball game. You can hear the basketball court. You can hear the players. And every one of them has a cell phone in front of their face. And they don't have a clue what's going on the basketball court. They don't have a clue. And folks, basketball's a good game. You wouldn't believe how long I lived and breathed basketball. It's a good game. And yet these kids are sitting there and they are oblivious to what's going on. What's that, preacher? Addiction, that's what it is. They're addicted. If you don't think you are addicted to your phone, set it up for a day or two. You know, government comes out and says, "It's illegal to text while you drive." They put these signs out here all over the place. What's that for, preacher? Well, they're appealing to your honor. You cannot appeal to someone's honor when they have no honor. Amen. Well, say, "Preacher, why don't they do something about it?" Because it doesn't make any sense. that far more people are killed in this country every single day, because of cell phones than are shot because of guns. So why don't they do so? It doesn't make sense, does it, preacher? Remember what I told you? When something doesn't make sense, somebody's making money. Do this for your own good. Find out what kind of lobby they've got down here in Nashville. Find out what kind of a cell phone lobby they got in Washington, D.C. Find out how much money is in the cell phone business, and you'll find out why nothing is going to be done about it. I've always said that the seatbelt people didn't have near as much money as the cell phone people. You know, it's against the law to drive without a seatbelt. When I started driving, folks, they didn't even have seatbelts in cars. We've come a long way. Believe me, I'm telling you, how many of you have been around as long as I have, you know what I'm talking about. They didn't even have seatbelts in cars. That was a luxury. You had to add that to your car. Seatbelt. Who knew what a seatbelt was? But they didn't have the money that the cell phone people have. So, what's the problem, preacher? No character. What's a character? The character is the virtues of your nature. The greatest virtue, the greatest virtuous person, person with the greatest character that ever walked this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was trustworthy. God said of Abraham, I know him, that he'll raise his children. He'll raise them right. He knows him. Does he know you? Sure he knows. Does he know me? Yes, he knows me. Does he know what I'm going to do under a certain circumstance? Yes. Does he know how I'll react to something? Yes. Does God know me from head, top of my head to bottom of my feet? Yes. Does he know how I'll react under pressure? Does he know how I'll react if someone criticizes me? Does he know how I'll react if things don't go my way? Yes. But he's still my God. That's character. That's character. Trustworthiness. Conscientiousness. Determination. Have you read in the book of Ruth how that Boaz, they said of him, once he found out this thing about Ruth and about the land and about the kinsman redeemer, Naomi said to Ruth, he will not rest until he gets this settled. That's called determination. He will not rest. That's a mark of character. When you've got a burden, you've got a job, you've got a responsibility, you've got a duty, you do it. You don't shift the blame to somebody else, you do it. If it's your job and your responsibility, it's been laid in your lap, do it! Amen. Your duty. There was a time in this country when someone said, the duty is the greatest thing that a man can do. Do his duty. What's he responsible for? If you're on guard duty, you guard. If you're in a convoy with troops and trucks, you drive. If you're in combat on the field and you have an enemy approaching you, you obey your commanders and you lock and load and you're ready. That's your duty. And if you're a Christian, you fight the good fight of faith. That's your duty. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Another mark of character is truthfulness. Can you believe the world? No. Can you believe social media? No. Can you believe the government? No. Can you believe men? No. But you can believe God. Yes. Don't put your trust in men, even the best of men. Don't put your trust in them. And competency, that's part of character. Don't make claims you can't fulfill. Don't promise things that you're unable to carry through with. The Bible said he's able to save to the uttermost those who call to God or come to him. Able to save them completely and fully. He's able. Then there's patience. That's a wonderful virtue. Is it not? Social media world. Let's talk about it for just a moment. How many know what the word viral means? Viral. Until a few months ago, I didn't, because honestly, I have to plead ignorance to social media because I am not on social media. If you ever get on there and somebody said, Preacher Lawson tweeted this, he's a liar. If you ever get on there and somebody said, well, Preacher Lawson put this on Facebook, he's a liar. I'm telling you right now, they're liars. This is not blanket condemnation of Facebook. This is not blanket condemnation of Twitter. Social media can be used for good. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. It can be used for good. My purpose in here this morning, as a matter of fact, this is a very unusual thing. This brother comes to me, Brother Hopkins comes to me a few minutes ago, right before I got up to preach this morning. He said, there's a brother here who wants to stream on social media live what we're doing in here this morning. I thought to myself, you can't write a script like that. I thought, here I am. I'm getting up here with an opening, with a salvo against social media. And we got a brother who wants to stream live. And that's okay. That's fine. I mean, that's being used for good, right? It's being used for good. You have to arm yourself with knowledge. Ignorance is expensive. You have to understand the nature of your enemy. You have to do this. You got to know these things. So social media world. Here's the thing that most people don't understand about the social media world. There's a mix involved. What's that? Drugs. For example, pot, weed. How many of the people on social media do you think are smoking dope? Well, preacher, they wouldn't do anything like that, would they? You live in la-la land. Viral. That's nirvana. That's the goal to reach. That's when it's gone. It's out there. Nirvana. Viral. The second thing about social media, it's a false image that people project. You really don't know who you're talking to. You really don't know what they look like. You really don't know who they are. I marvel at how people can project themselves the way people want to see them and the way they really aren't. That's just human nature. And something about social media that you don't hear much about is the narcissistic behavior. What is that? That's a sociopath. What's a sociopath? A sociopath is somebody that has a hard time relating to you face to face. They really do. If they're not controlling the situation, they're only part of the situation. That's a sociopath. They really don't have any friends because the nature of who they are and the kind of being they are. Nobody wants to be friends with somebody like that. A sociopath normally is a very insecure person, and they build a shell about them. A sociopath is someone who inflicts harm upon other people. A sociopath is someone who doesn't feel the pain or the harm that comes to other people. That's a sociopath. You ever met one like that? You ever met anybody like that? Who do you think's doing the bullying on social media? They've got a forum. They've got a venue. When you got social media and you can get on there and you can bully somebody, you can create all these terms and all this fabricated world and all these touch terms and phrases, and then you nail them to somebody and you can destroy their life with social media. People have committed suicide because they've been bullied on social media. Did you know that? You say, well, a preacher, all my friends are on social media. Did you know that you can defriend somebody on social media? Or unfriend them? Or how? I don't know. What word? Unfriend them? Is that what it is? You can unfriend them. Did you know I read a thing the other day? It blew my mind. This man hired a hitman to go out and kill somebody who had been unfriended from his daughter's social media. I'm not making this up, friend. I'm in the pulpit. I didn't expect to find that. It didn't take me much digging to find it. Fact of the matter is, I didn't read much until I found out all kinds of stuff's going on with social media that'll blow your mind. That people get real wrapped up in it. I said, well, preacher, all my friends are on social media. Let me tell you something. If the only friend you know is the friend you have on social media, you don't know what a friend is. You really don't. And the biggest problem with social media is the fact that you don't know how to live in the real world. You live in a cyber world, a make-believe world, a fairy tale land. And you see these people on social media know that since they don't have a face-to-face relationship with you, many of them, you have no idea where they live or who they really are. They can say and do anything they please to you. They can put their digs in and you can't do a thing about it. All you can do is unfriend them. But they've already done the damage. They've already said what they intend to say. Social media. I'll tell you something, folks. If I were you this morning, I'd take a serious look at how I'm living my life. I was fortunate to live for, I guess, 60 years. I'm guessing 55 years before any of this stuff ever existed. Didn't exist. Back in those days, if you were a tattler, the only thing you had to tattle with was a phone. Or face to face. If you were a predator, you didn't have this open venue where all these young girls were on here. You know, you couldn't do this. It's different back then. It's not better, it's worse, folks. We got in here this morning. We have men out there at the door. We have armed men sitting in this congregation right now and armed women. Armed to the teeth, and they know how to use their weapons. It's a shame, isn't it? I mean, there was a time in Knoxville, Tennessee, that you didn't have to worry. You left your doors open at night. But when you hear about some demon-possessed nut going into a mosque over there and killing 50 people, innocent people, murdering these people, immediately it makes you think, well, what if they wanted to retaliate? What if somebody wanted to retaliate? You know, and they came into a church or something, and they came through the door, and they started shooting. And it'd be such a shame, wouldn't it? Lord have mercy, can you imagine coming to church? It's already happened in Knoxville. It's happened. They come through the door, and they come in shooting. That's such a shame. You have to live a life like that. I would that we could get back to the gospel. I would we could get back to the truth. I would that you wouldn't get your spirituality off of a television set. I would that you'd get your spiritual training and teaching in the church of God. I do. I would that you'd get it here or whatever church that you support and you belong to. I would that would be the place. I would that you would grow in your spiritual maturity, not with some spiritual or some Christian group on TV or on the social network. There may be places for this. I'm not against it entirely. And now we have a lot of people that come to Temple Baptist Church, and they tell me this when they walk through. They say, "Preacher, please understand, we do not have a church where we live." I don't know how many people have told me that. And I say to them, "Well, you're welcome. We want you, Lord knows you're welcome." And if you're in a situation like that where you have no church anywhere around, and can you imagine being like that? I don't doubt that there are places like that in the country. No churches around. You're welcome. The people move here. They move in here all the time. They move to come to this church. It's that important to them. That's a big deal, don't you think? But if you have the facilities, if you have the ability, if you have the way, get your Christian testimony and your Christian witness and your Christian fellowship with people that you go to church with, that you see on a daily basis or a weekly basis, that you know face to face, and you know these people and you learn these people and you learn how to support each other and pray for each other, and you learn what Christian fellowship is all about. Or maybe you're a sociopath, like I was talking about a minute ago. Maybe you're a controller. That's a sure mark of a sociopath. It's your way or the highway. Well, I'll tell you right now, you'll never have fellowship with Christians. You'll never have the power of God in your life. You'll never see the glory of God that as he can move it in a congregation of people. You're never going to know what it's like. Amen. And before I close this morning, I want to say something to the young people, these young girls. We got beautiful young girls in our church. Amen. Beautiful young girls. They got their whole life in front of them. One day they'll meet Prince Charming. And they'll get married, and they'll have children. They'll have their own families. They'll mature into women. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. I pray it never happens at Temple Baptist Church where one of them comes up missing. Listen to me, kids. If you're on there right now and you're talking to somebody and you've been opening up your heart and you've been talking about, well, mom and dad doesn't understand me, or, you know, I need this and I need that, you're talking to the wrong person. Shut it down. And turn your attention toward real human beings. People you know. We need fellowship here with kids. We've got a good one. We got a brother over here, Brother Davis. He meets in here Friday night. He'll come in here. He'll have 8 or 10 or 12 kids lined up here. And they're up here singing. Amen. Fellowshipping together. And he instructs them and talks to them and they pray together. They come in here and they have a good Christian time together. Don't you think that's a good thing? Amen. And I'm sure if we have any other young people in here that would like to be part of this to sing with these kids, I'm sure they'd welcome you. It's important that young people have the right influence. We have our workers that work with them. Brother Chafin and his wife, they work with these young people. You know, it's not as the singing part of it, but as another. They can compliment each other. They can pray for each other. It's a big deal. You all understand the danger and understand the signs that you may see from kids when something's happening in their home that you might help them. Your kids need to have fellowship, folks, with kids in the church that are under leaders that have maturity. They love the Lord. And fellowship. When your kids grow up, that's what you want. You want to teach them in the fear and the admonition of God. We don't lose any of you. I don't think I could make it if we ever lost one. One of you came up missing. Man. That'd be hard. Yeah, that'd be hard. One of you came up missing. And they find your dead body somewhere. Father, I pray you'd use what I've said somehow or another. Just get it in the heart. Write it down in the soul. Especially the young people in here today. Some of them, that's all they've ever known, Lord. It was going full steam ahead when they were born. And it's matured and grown since then. I pray for them. I pray for them, Heavenly Father. Lord, protect them. Oh, God, protect them. Shield them. Shield them. Lord, protect them. Protect these young people. I know their mind's developing. I know they're just children in a lot of different ways. I know that. But our Heavenly Father, they need your hand on their soul. They need protection. Protect them, Lord. Build a wall about them. And I pray for your church. Pray for your people. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that however you choose to do it, that you protect your people. Protect them here at Temple and all around. When people meet to worship God and have prayer meeting, they shouldn't have to fear being murdered and shot to death. I pray for them everywhere they are. And we pray for those people over there in New Zealand. There's a lot of hurt over there now, Father. A lot of hurt. We pray for those people. We pray for them. We pray for them, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it.